Hey there. Welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast, the show where money meets real life. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Allura Wealth. Welcome back, friends. It's been a minute, and this is going to be one of the first official episodes that launches in this new season and chapter. And there are so many topics that we can talk about when it comes to money. But I think one of the most relevant that continues to come up across time and clients and just, you know, season of life is the idea of optionality. And optionality is something that I think many of us want in our lives that maybe we don't consider. So when we are in a season of busyness and movement and hustling and maybe a tad bit of chaos, we have stress that we carry. And when we are in times of stress, it can feel like we are in this kind of permanent phase, right? When we're in a season of stress, it's very hard for us to take a moment to pause and then say, well, this will be over soon. Right? When we're in it, we kind of find ourselves grumbly and it gets really heavy. When you're juggling all of these demands, career, kids, aging parents, running the household, responsibilities, it feels endless. And so we start to wonder, hey, is this just my life now? Is this what I have going on? And the truth is, it's not. And it doesn't have to be. But it does take some conscious decision making for us to get out of that loop. And so one of the most powerful tools we have to get out of this loop and thinking of our lives in a different way is this idea of optionality. And money can help to provide us with optionality. And also our shifting our frame of reference and perspective provides us with some optionality. So what optionality really means is the idea of creating choices for your future self. So it's financial flexibility and the ability to step back when you need to take advantage of opportunities when they arise and know that you're not actually locked into one path forever, though it may feel like it. So with optionality, when you have that optionality, stress then kind of shifts into like, okay, this is a season of life as opposed to this permanent way of being. So optionality is really this idea of being stuck in a hallway, and instead of having just that one flashing exit, you actually have all of those doors available to you in the hallway as different paths and choices that you can make. So that when life does throw you a curveball, you have different tools, different ways that you can respond. And so before I jump into what you need to do to have this optionality in your life, let's talk about, you know, me. Optionality has been a big thing in my life, probably throughout my life, since my 20s, since I got into this industry and kind of tackled this idea of money. I maybe struggled having a boss at some point in times, but I always wanted to have an idea of what could be in my back pocket. And this is what I've always advised clients. What's in your back pocket? What are the options that are available to you so that you know that if you're on the path, you're choosing to stay on the path that you are on, you know what the other doors are that are available to you and what you're saying no to. So in my life, you know, I shared in the relaunch episode some of those choices that I made in terms of my career over the past 6 to 7 years. And coming back around, even as I went through the phase of, hey, I merged my old business in with a much larger RIA firm. I took a seat at a C-suite table. I, you know, became co-CEO. I intentionally chose during that time financially to make decisions in our life that continued to provide me with optionality. Not because I thought I would need an exit ramp along the way, but because I wanted to know that I had the freedom of choice. And I know that one of my core values is having that freedom and flexibility. So for myself, it was really about not adjusting our lifestyle as I had that career opportunity and fluctuation or, you know, I guess upwards trajectory. I chose to invest in travel with our family and our kids because that was important to me. But I chose to funnel a lot of any of the financial gain into savings and into our investments, knowing that, again, I value freedom and flexibility. I don't particularly personally enjoy debt because that I feel like puts me personally on the hook for larger obligations, and it gives me less of the freedom and kind of nimbleness that I prefer to have personally in my life. And so I kept those in mind over the time when I was at my previous company, and honestly before that as well. It's why we're in a house of the size that we're in. It's why I didn't upgrade our life when I was at my previous firm. And it continues to provide us the flexibility now as I've relaunched my company, continue to build and take on new clients, etc. So optionality for me personally was really important, and I had to make some different decisions. Could I have gone out and gotten a super fancy new car? Absolutely. Could I have upgraded and bought a new house? Yes. Could we have done first class travel everywhere? Absolutely. We could have done all of these things, but instead I chose to say no based on the core value that I have of knowing, number one for me is freedom and flexibility, and I want to be able to live my life within those boundaries. And not knowing what was coming, but when it was time to make that change, when I felt that I was missing something in my life and wanted to pivot, I was able to sit down and look at our financial framework. And though I might have my own financial anxiety, as many people do, the numbers showed and demonstrated that we could afford to make this transition. We were in a place where it would be okay. I wasn't blowing up our financial plan. It wasn't any type of major setback. It was mostly just a transition, maybe over the next 12 to 24 months as we recalibrate things and life moves on, right? And that having that optionality and not having to worry about the financial stress so much of a transition makes life a lot easier when you're faced with and able to make choices around your needs and values and wants. And so that's really what optionality is about. It's going from feeling like you have no choice to feeling like you have, you know, several good options that you can choose from. And I think it's important, you know, when we don't have financial options, stress can feel a lot heavier, right? When you don't have that financial cushion or build up, the pressure can really multiply just exponentially. And you feel, without optionality, you feel, you know, trapped in the high paying job that no longer fulfills you, but you can't afford to step away because you have adjusted your lifestyle and your obligations. You might feel like your retirement accounts are substantial, but your wealth is locked up until you're 59 and a half because you haven't been distributing your savings appropriately. Maybe you have, your expenses have grown and ballooned so much with your income that you actually don't have a lot of room for major life changes. And, you know, all of these, any financial decision starts to feel like it's high stakes because you don't feel like you have accessible backup funds. And so this lack of choice just adds to the weight and the invisible load that so many people carry, so many women carry already. We're responsible for so many things along the way. So without that financial flexibility, the load can become overwhelming. So what can you do? There's five pillars of financial optionality, of things that we can do in our lives. And I want you to consider when you're looking at optionality for yourself as to what can be important for you. Creating optionality at, you know, life stage, depending on when you're listening to this, if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s, like there's probably beyond some basic budgeting, you need to have a little bit more sophisticated planning that acknowledges your solid financial foundation, if you have that, and the accumulated wealth, and then also, you know, some of the complex responsibilities that you have. So the first thing I would say is you want to build liquid wealth beyond emergency funds, right? So you have an emergency fund, but optionality sometimes requires having access to assets beyond that safety net. So that could be, you know, holding 6 to 12 months in a high yield savings. And that might be, you know, your emergency fund is 6 months and you know that you might want to make a career pivot. You might want to buy that house. You might want to have another kid. You might want to launch a business. You might need to help an aging parent. You know, knowing you have the emergency fund, but then you might want to have this like optionality fund and that's locked away just kind of in this high yield savings as well, because that's the thing that allows you to negotiate sabbaticals, to start a business, to do that support without touching your other long-term retirement vehicles. So I think it's really important when you're looking at your liquid cash of thinking, okay, what do I need for an emergency? And then what do I need for like just like this kind of exhale moment in my life of if anything pops up or I want to feel like I have freedom of choice. Second thing is diversifying your investments across tax-advantaged and taxable accounts. So retirement accounts are obviously crucial. We talk about those all the time. So your 401k, your IRA, your Roth IRA. But beyond the retirement accounts, when you're building strategic wealth, you also need to balance retirement contributions with sustaining a taxable investment portfolio. This is one of those accounts that's either in your name individually, it's in a joint account if you're partnered up, or in a trust account. That's going to be money that is not tied up for specifically for retirement. Typically, it is long-term investing still, but those are funds, those taxable accounts give you access to funds for some of those larger moves we were talking about that might come down the road somewhere. Or, you know, if you want to retire before 59 and a half, having some of that money accessible for an early retirement without restrictions and penalties is quite helpful as well. The third thing is optimizing your debt strategy for flexibility. So debt strategy becomes a little bit nuanced, right? You might choose to carry a mortgage even if you could pay it off because, you know, we're looking at interest rates and where you can maximize your money in terms of returns versus low interest rates, depending on when you locked in your mortgage. But obviously, high interest rate consumer debt, that should be paid off on a monthly basis. Investment property debt, you definitely want to make sure that you're evaluating whether the real estate investments are creating income, options, and what the cash flow streams are. If you do have business debt, you want to make sure that you're structuring all of this debt so that you still have financial flexibility in your lives, in your life. And so maintaining a strategy around it all, what I've seen across the board with clients is that, you know, in this phase of life, I would say is kind of like these one-off situations, right? There's not really a comprehensive debt strategy in terms of how to maximize for efficiency, costs, and, you know, strategic gain when you're acquiring debt. It's really more like, oh, I got this business loan. Oh, I have this additional mortgage. Oh, I have this thing. And so really to zooming out and taking a look at, okay, I have this amount of debt. Which one's costing me the most? What's the strategy here? How am I cash flowing on it? Am I gaining, you know, what's the investment return, et cetera? So if you can have a strategy there, I think it's really helpful to understand how you're leveraging debt. Some people are, like I talked before, like I personally don't enjoy debt. A lot of my clients do. And I think it's a great tool to have in the toolbox, but you need to make sure that it's actually a profitable strategy for you if possible, and it's not costing you. Another thing that I like to talk about for optionality is this idea of income diversification. So if you can, it means not entirely depending on your W-2. So I'm not saying we need to start side hustles because, dear Lord, who has time for that right now? If you're at the stage of life that I am, I'm probably just struggling to breathe, to get some, you know, 8 hours of sleep doesn't even exist for many of us anymore. But I'd say it means building income streams that you can't, that can continue without your active daily involvement. So again, that's going to be if you're building an investment portfolio, you're going to get investment income, dividends and interest. It could be real estate income. There's business ownership. You do have your W-2, but when you're thinking about your retirement, there's this idea of Social Security. Will it or won't it be around? Hopefully you are getting your Social Security estimates each year. But when you're thinking about the long term, what are the income buckets that you will have available to pull from? And that's when you're thinking about optionality for myself. When you're thinking about optionality for yourself, zoom out of this like in the moment and think about, okay, when I'm looking, like, where does my income come from? Where will it come from? And that goes back to my earlier strategy about making sure that you're diversifying your savings beyond retirement, that you're also doing the taxable accounts as well, because that will give you some of that income diversification. And then the fifth thing is going to be, you know, planning for different retirement scenarios. This is the part where I have software for this, and it's fun to work with clients on it and to show them different scenarios. You can tinker all day. I can tinker all day with my own personal stuff of like, what does this look like? What does this look like? Not that I would do any of it, but just want to know. I have clients who love having access to the software as well, because I know they're in there tinkering too and trying to figure out, what does this look like? And what does this look like? And we talk about this idea of retiring at 65. And this is where optionality comes up, right? Is I don't know that many of us want to retire. Maybe we do want to retire and just go travel and golf or whatever you do to, you know, fill your spare time. But what a lot of people want is this idea of work optional, right? They want work optionality. So if I'm still working, it's because I choose to, as opposed to feeling like I have to. And choosing versus having to is very, very empowering for somebody, right? You are doing something because you want to, because it lights you up, because it fills your cup, not because you feel like you're slogging away to reach some arbitrary goal. And so when you do tackle your finances, having these multiple retirement scenarios is really important. So when can work be optional? Maybe it's that you do semi-retirement where you, you know, transition reduced hours, 50 to 55. What if you spend less during this time? What if you work longer and spend more? I think it's really important to kind of talk through and think for yourself and your significant other, if you have one, of what this could potentially look like. And even in your 40s, this could feel, even your 50s, this could feel just so arbitrary and so far off. But I do think it's really important to dream a little bit about that, because when you're thinking about your future self, I don't expect you to know how you want to spend your retirement, but when you're thinking about your future self and you're allowing yourself to dream, that feeling and knowing what your goals are is usually energetic and changes your perspective towards making some of those harder decisions maybe in the present in terms of, you know, what you need to do to lay that foundation to have that optionality. So I'd say, you know, we want optionality and you want to know like, hey, when can I have the financial ability to step back from work? And if I have to care for my aging parents, or how do I fluctuate with this traditional retirement concept, but maybe I work, you know, part-time, but I work for longer than maybe 65 and I'll just do reduced work doing something I love and my income's lower, but hey, like, does my plan work that way? And so I think it's really important just from those financial aspects of thinking through that money, and then knowing beyond money, there are ways that you can also create optionality in your life. Our time is incredibly important and is our most valuable resource. And optionality means creating space, if possible, white space on the calendar, right? So protecting your most valuable resource. You leave margin for the unexpected, for the spontaneous, for the restorative, right? You're taking the time that means, hey, you're outsourcing something that might drain you, or you're automating errands where possible and learning to say no to commitments that don't align with where you're currently at. And also, please note that I am speaking to myself when I say these things. But protecting our time gives us the most freedom. And that's really where we start to feel like the stress in our lives when our time is not protected. It feeds into other areas, which makes us feel just disgruntled. But protecting the time is what gives you the freedom to choose how you actually want to live. And I also say that relationship optionality is something that's important. Building your support network. So I talked with this actually with my study group recently, and I think times have changed where I launched my first business back in 2013, and being online was kind of rare at that point in time. Being able to work remotely, there wasn't a lot of advisors that were doing this from an online environment. Everything had to be in person. Fast forward, you know, COVID hits, everything and everybody is online now. And it's actually, I feel like much harder to connect in an online environment. And the relationship building is going back to being in person. I think you can build maybe an audience online, fantastic. But if you want a support network of peers and people you're connected to who will lift you up, a lot of that still is back to happening in this in-person environment. So I think optionality thrives when you have a strong support system. So whether that means you're cultivating relationships with friends, with your family, with your, you know, within your community, you're going to like your gym, your church, your wherever you're having your hobbies, I think it's really important to build a support network and have people that you can lean on, because as you go through life, you know, those relationships will evolve, your life will evolve, and having that optionality in your network of people to pull from and resources to pull from will be really supportive and restorative for you. And then I think the final thing in terms of optionality as we're thinking about it is the idea of health optionality. Our health is just like a complete foundation, right? So being able to, especially at like this point in time in our lives, to be able to invest in your physical and mental well-being is incredibly important. If you're 20 and listening to this, I love you. Thank you for being here. But also some of us are not in our 20s anymore and we just don't bounce back as fast. Maybe not as mentally resilient as we were, or not. Maybe I think we're more mentally resilient. We just have like chosen to approach things and to learn in a different way. And so I really think that at this phase in life, choosing to take care of our bodies, take care of our minds is what allows us the optionality in the future to continue to live a life and to achieve our goals. We obviously have to pivot. There's different things that pop up along the way, but having a strong health foundation will allow you to have some of that optionality over the long run. So that's the first episode. I think just in terms of like, hey, like I'm in my 40s. You're probably in your 30s, 40s, or 50s if you're listening to this. As a woman, like our bodies are changing, our families are changing, our lives are changing, our careers are evolving. Some of us give less cares now. I'll say cares instead of the F word. We give less cares now than maybe we did previously of what people think of us. But I do think, you know, putting ourselves first and thinking about optionality of what do we want our lives to look like, right? And so what do you need to do? What foundation do you need to lie in these areas for you to have that optionality in your life that you deserve, that you need, and that will get you to the future and next step? Thanks for being here. I'll see you all in the next episode.